You are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents and students worldwide.
Poetry is designed to move you. It's a people thing.
We help teachers thrive and survive with classroom ideas, cutting-edge school resources and research-informed teacher training materials. You will also hear discussions on the policy, guidance and research-based publications.
Hello everyone, this is Ross at Teacher Toolkit, the most influential blog on education in the UK. Today I'm with Adisa. Adisa is going to introduce himself, tell us what he does.
Hi there, thanks for having me. I'm a performance poet, but I prefer to call myself Adisa the Verbaliser. I specialise in delivering creative writing workshops inside the walls of education and performing poetry and encouraging young people to share their voice and perform their poetry.
Okay, Adisa, so we'll come back to your work, but let me just take you back to when you were at school as a child. No need to tell me what year, but could you just remind us of what you remember about school, particularly good teachers, maybe teachers that you didn't necessarily get on with, but reasons why?
Okay, so for school, there was two main subjects I loved. English, I wasn't that good at it, but I loved it. I loved the creative writing. I loved the storytelling. Stories were a big part of my childhood. I loved drama as well. And I love biology. Never used the biology, but I love biology. But yeah, my early days were all about the English, reading plays, and drama. That was my big thing. Yeah.
So you're currently working in schools, poetry, literacy, things like that. On your travels and experiences working with schools, what do you think you'd like to see the one change in education? What would it be for you?
One change in education. Regarding how poetry is viewed in schools as something to be observed rather than something to be experienced. And as I mean by that, it's a case of sometimes dissecting poetry, taking it apart before you actually enjoy it. And I'm a believer in the idea of young people just listening to the words, the performance, the sound, the vibration of those words, and being moved by it. Poetry is designed to move you. It's a people thing. And then moving from that experience of being moved by it to actually trying to find out a bit more about the actual structure of it. But I find that a lot of the time schools have to be focusing more on structure and techniques and, why did the poet write this particular line? What is he trying to convey? What he or she is trying to convey? But I think it's about enjoyment first. It's just about enjoyment of the words and the stories that are created.
Okay, so my next question, what books are you reading? So can you give me two books, one personal and one maybe related to education? And I imagine poetry is always linked to learning and education, but if I could ask you to pick up two books you've read recently or what you're reading now?
Yeah, okay. Recently I read a book called Blink by Malcolm Gladwell. And it's about how we make split decisions just on a whim. So how can we work off our gut instincts? We just work off our gut instincts and make decisions so quickly based on something that you feel in your gut. And I like that book. It's not really about education per se, but it's just about human development and human understanding. Outside of that, I love cycling. So I've always got some sort of magazine or book about cycling on the go. Recently I've been reading about Tour de France, the history of the Tour de France, and particularly about an African-American cyclist from the 1920s called Major Taylor. And he experienced great racism in America in the day, but he was a world champion and not many people know about him, but it's called Major Taylor. So I've been reading about his life story. Yeah.
I love the Tour de France. I've been watching it since I was 15, so I'm a bit of an addict myself. So going back to your business, your poetry work, tell us what you're working on at the moment.
Most of my time is roughly about 3 days a week. I'm designing and delivering workshops inside schools, performances and creative writing workshops. And that takes me up and down the country, nationwide and also internationally as well. But also outside of that, I develop one-person shows. And I'm doing another one where I basically create a play in poetry. I plead with my hands and knees to the Arts Council for funding. They normally fund me, and I put on a show, and I tour it around small theatres. So I'm in the process of thinking of a new show, probably something to do with cycling and poetry, and then get that on the road.
pun intended. So with your experience working in schools, you probably work with hundreds, maybe thousands of teachers, and I'm sure you come across their burdens, their workload issues. I know you've got lots of friends who are teachers. So in terms of giving a tip for listeners who are teachers, do you have one thing that you could recommend in terms of stripping back, keeping things simple from either a classroom perspective or just a personal workload strategy you might have yourself?
Okay. I would say, particularly, I work a lot with English teachers, nurture your inner creativity, whether that's the writing, whether that's visual arts, but find time to do your creativity. I get asked into schools a lot and people say, it's amazing, you make a living out of doing something you love. But we all love something, we all have a passion, and it's important that you get time to nurture that in your free time, because that's what's going to keep you alive. That's the spirit, the driving force, your own creativity, your own writing. You've got a book ideas, write some ideas down, you know, get a book together if you can.
Great top tip. I have worked with Adisa past, with our English teachers, so I can highly recommend him. Adisa and I are working on a couple of new events, so keep an eye out on the Teacher Toolkit Eventbrite page. A couple of events on literacy and storytelling, the power that it can have in terms of improving student outcomes. Next question, Adisa, two more. Who would you recommend I interview next and why?
Jan Blake. I don't know if you met Jan Blake. Jan Blake is a friend of mine and a renowned master storyteller. And you mentioned storytelling and the power of storytelling. She'd be a good person to talk to you about that and the magical world of stories.
Yeah, I had the privilege of meeting Jan at Cambridge University in September 2017, and she knocked me out, and we've become kind of good mates, particularly on social media. So hopefully I can get the privilege of attending one of her events soon. Final question, where can listeners find out more about you, kind of social media website?
Yeah, so my website is adisaworld.com. My Instagram is adisapoet. My Facebook is also adisapoet as well. So yeah, Twitter, adisapoet. Adisapoet, yeah.
Okay, lovely. Thank you, Adisa, for meeting me for breakfast. We're in a cafe in North London talking about education. So you're listening to Teacher Toolkit. Find out more on our website. Follow the usual social media channels and the hashtag TTKitPodcast. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To continue the conversation, head over to www.teachertoolkit.co.uk and our social media channels to access all the links and resources mentioned on today's show. Why not share this with your colleagues and give them the gift of time, reduced workload, and increased impact? Until the next time, before you look after your students, look after yourself.
You are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents, and students worldwide.